सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु स वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 John chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामदिष्टाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेदि तद्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेदि तद्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसः पूतामद्भावमागताः वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसः पूतामद्भावमागताः
Verse number 6, which we did last week, Lord Krishna says, I am though unborn and imperishable, essentially, I manifest animating my own prana, animating the Maya, I myself animate the Maya and I'm born. And this is what we said last week, that to understand this, we brought in the example of how one gets hypnotized. When you are hypnotized by an object, thereafter in the state of hypnosis, you go through certain things. Those people who are going through hypnosis, who are conditioned by the hypnosis, do not know or have no connection with the real situation. A specialist comes and hypnotizes you. He says, I have kept some hot charcoal in your hand, in your palm. But what he is actually kept is only a stone. Probably it is very cold. But he is hypnotized you to believe that it is a hot charcoal that is kept. So the person who is hypnotized, he doesn't know that it is stone which is cold. For him, it is hot charcoal. And the interesting thing that happens about this is, even after he comes out of hypnosis, he will see boil in his palm as a result of this. This is a fact. You understand? Even though he is hypnotized, when he comes out of the hypnosis, you will see that boil in his palm. That is how powerful the thoughts are. So we hypnotize, or rather we are hypnotized by the world outside, and we have no awareness whatsoever. Whereas he says Mahatmas are those who have gone beyond the state of hypnosis, and they are not hypnotized to believe themselves to be the waves. They know for sure that they are essentially the ocean, and ocean is unborn, and ocean is imperishable. It is the wave that is born, it is the wave that perishes. But the wave is believing itself to be the wave because it is in a state of hypnosis. You believe yourself to be an individual from the time you are born. Everybody said something about you referring to your body. You have grown tall, you have put on weight, your hair has turned grey. So you started hypnotizing yourself to be the body, the individual, the way. And he says, Mahatmas know the secret of their birth, in the sense they have gone
beyond
the state of hypnosis. When they have gone beyond the state of hypnosis, they know that they are not the body which is born, they are the soul that has no birth, that has no death. So the difference between ordinary jiva and an avatara needs to be understood correctly. Avatara means one who has come down, one who has descended, one who has surfaced consciously. The only difference is all of us are pure consciousness that has come as individuals, as it were. Within bracket always put as it were. It is ocean that has manifested as wave, as it were. But wave is conditioned to believe itself to be the wave. Even when it is conditioned, it is actually the ocean or water. So when you consciously come down, it is called avatar. When you are ignorantly fallen down, it is called jiva. Remember the difference. What is the difference between jiva and avatara? Jiva is ignorant. Avatara is conscious. For this I give the example of somebody walking in front of you, ahead of you, and there is a print on the ground. The guy who is walking in front of you is looking at the clouds and walking. He didn't see the pit. Therefore, he had fallen into the pit. You who is walking behind him, have been watching the guy falling into the pit. You know there is a pit, and you know this guy has fallen into the pit, and you also know that this guy has fallen into the pit because he was looking somewhere else. Unaware, in a state of ignorance, he fell into the pit. You, though you have no desire to help or not to help the guy, you see the person falling into, out of compassion, you also go down into the pit. But you are not falling down into the pit, you are going down or coming down into the pit. This coming down out of compassion is called as avatara. Are you with me? So in other words, people think when our problem is there, we have some problem, we will wait for somebody to come from somewhere to solve our problem. Nothing like that. Understand? In fact, by unconscious hypnosis, you have now believed yourself in the body. So basically, this is not the fact that you are the body. It is because of self-hypnosis. Or it is because of the hypnosis of the objects around you. Right? You have been saying, see, in other words, let's look at it like this. In bhav, you associate with it, you actually become it. That is why, when you go to some other country to live, for whatever purposes you went, business or profession or whatever, but having lived for many years there, you almost change like that person. You were not speaking English like that when you were here. But since you went to America and started living there for so many years, now your accent has changed. Are you with me? So by your constant unconscious association, you have become that man. So this is the only problem that we need to understand. Essentially everybody is divine. Essentially everyone is ocean. But due to ignorance and unconscious conditioning, you started believing yourself to be this individual, finite. Therefore he says, I know my birth. I know how this apparent body surfaces. Actually, there are no waves, there is only water. So since I know my birth, I know all births, you do not know, therefore you think, how is it possible that I could have given this knowledge to Vivaswan, Manu Ikshvaku, when I am just born recently. So whenever a great Mahatma speaks like this, he doesn't identify with his body and speak, he identifies with the Atma and speaks. Therefore, it is the Atma that has revealed the knowledge of the self to Vivaswan, and now it is the same Atma which is revealing the knowledge of the self to Arjuna in the form of Mr. Krishna. Are you with me? So Mr. Krishna's body is apparent, not actual, which Mr. Krishna knows. Your body is also apparent, not actual, but you do not know. This is essentially the difference between Jiva and Avatar. Now he says, Avatar, when is he born? Why does he consciously condition himself, come down to the body level and function? See, once you cross the hypnosis, would you again get back to hypnosis? Even if you again get back to hypnosis, it will be consciously going into that state, not falling into it unconsciously. Like for example, you were a small child and you were playing that Monopoly game. And that time when you were playing Monopoly, when you were a small kid, it was all very real to you. I bought this place, I bought that place, it's very real to you. Now I've grown up. You might play the same game of Monopoly with your children. Right? You're also buying stuff like they do. You're also trading with the same money, which is fake. But the difference is, you know it is a game, fiction. They do not know that it is a game or fiction. Are you with me? So he says, when all does a person, a Mahatma, come down in the body form and function? This is verse number 7 and 8. We'll chant verse number 7 and 8 together. Yada yada hi dharmasya, yada yada hi dharmasya,
Glanirbhavati Bharata, Glanirbhavati Bharata, Abhyuttanam Adharmasya, Abhyuttanam Adharmasya, Tadatmanam Srijamyaham, Tadatmanam Srijamyaham, Yada Yada Hidharmasya, Glanirbhavati Bharata, Abhyuttanam Adharmasya, Tadatmanam Srijamyaham, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chatushrutam, Vinashaya Chatushrutam, Dharma Samstapanartaya, Dharma Samstapanartaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chatushrutam, Dharma Samstapanartaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge.
Very famous verses of the Bhagavad Gita. As it is the case with many things that are famous, it is always misunderstood. Usually misunderstood. Like I said, people misunderstand these verses and are waiting for an avatara to come and solve their problem. This is not what Krishna is trying to say here. All that he is trying to say is, avatar means somebody who is conscious and consciously comes into this, comes down to this level of the body, comes down to the surface and plays the game as it were. A jiva, everything is unconscious. Therefore for the jiva, it is all very serious. A person who goes down closer and closer to the consciousness level, for him life becomes a leela, a sport. For a person who is at the surface and has not gone closer to the consciousness, for him whatever is happening is very very serious. That's the difference. That is why we call Krishna's life as Krishna Leela. It is a sport. He is sporting. He goes into it consciously. He also, when he is as it were trapped in the body, goes through joy, sorrow, profit, loss, honor, dishonor. During his time, Shishupala was living. And Shishupala heard as many abuses as possible. Right? So, he also takes in, gives everything like us. But deep within, there is a clear what?
Awareness. Consciousness. Consciousness.
Clear?
Demarcation, understanding.
Understanding, or you can say a quoting. Therefore, all that happens doesn't touch him. In our case, that quoting is missing. That insulation is there. Consciousness is the insulation. Remember this, we have said this before. You cannot fall into trouble, you cannot get angry, you cannot get jealousy, you cannot become greedy, you cannot become lustful, you cannot become anything negative conscious. Try it out. Can you consciously fall into the pit? You can consciously get down into the pit. You will not fall into the pit. So all this feeling of entrapment is due to our ignorance, unconscious state of living. As you go closer and closer to your consciousness, as you become one with the consciousness, thereafter there is no question of being trapped. So it is yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati. When ever dharma is overpowered, as it were, there is indeed a decline of dharma, righteousness, and order. Dharma means order, harmony, and the rise of adharma, unrighteousness, means no order, no harmony. Then I manifest. Then I manifest. Meaning, the only reason for a person who has gone beyond thoughts, for him to come and play through the thoughts as it were, if at all, is compassion. because we have nothing to achieve through that. We have a state of incompleteness within. And to feel complete, the thoughts run towards the world and we function in the world to find that fulfillment. But a person who is fulfilled, he is not coming into the world to act through the body, to find fulfillment, he does everything out of fulfillment. So in the case of a jiva, the action is done to find fulfillment. In the case of an avatara, it is done out of fulfillment. Are you with me? It is out of attraction. So he says, whenever there is a decline of dharma and a rise of adharma, I manifest. And why do I manifest? He says in the next verse, for the protection of the virtuous. Paritra naya sadhunam. Then vinashaya cha dushkritam. To destroy the wicked. For the destruction of the wicked, evil. And for the establishment of dharma. Dharma samsthapanardaya. So three things he says. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Dharma samsthapanardaya. To establish the righteousness. Righteousness can only be established when people who follow dharma are protected. And righteousness can be established when people who follow adharma are destroyed. Now we'll have to see what is the meaning of destruction here is. Only thus can adharma be.
So you are saying if you are a complete person, then you are not going to follow prey, I mean fulfilling your requirements. I mean how does it relate? I am not understanding.
Right.
When you started saying somebody is feeling incomplete, then their thoughts go to satisfy.
See, when somebody is incomplete, the thoughts run towards the world to find that fulfillment.
Hmm.
And when you found that fulfillment already, you are in that fulfillment, why would your thoughts go out? The only reason, if at all, you go out into the world is to give, not to take.
I mean, how does that?
I am telling you, listen to me now.
Hmm.
So I am saying here, he is into the world to establish dharma, not to find fulfillment in the world. That is why he is saying here, why would a mahatma manifest himself in the body? Thereafter, what kind of actions a mahatma will be engaging himself into is what I am explaining to. He will be engaging himself into, see, for example, you go into the world to get something out of it. Only by getting it, you find fulfillment. When I am already having it, why would I go out? Does it mean that the mahatma doesn't function? No. In fact, a person who has found his fulfillment alone functions fully. Because he is not functioning to get something, he is functioning only to give. So he comes down to establish dharma. Is how I am connecting the two. Now listen to me fully, then you can ask. So, whenever there is decline in dharma and the rise of adharma, I manifest myself. Why do I manifest? Why do the mahatma comes into the body and acts when he is fulfilled?
But all of us are mahatma.
Listen to me. But you do not know that. Until and unless you do not know that you are consciousness, even though essentially you are consciousness, you are not a mahatma. You are an ordinary atma, what we call as jiva. What is the difference between jiva and a mahatma? Mahatma knows, you do not know. That's the only difference. Knowing is not through knowing through the scriptures, knowing essentially. Now you know, you are reading the book for quite some time. But actually you do not know. Why? Because when something happens, joy or sorrow, you are excited and you are dejected. That is the proof that you are not a mahatma. If you remember, that is how the Gita was started, when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, to Lord. Krishna started the Gita by saying what? You are talking words of wisdom, Arjuna. Yet you are grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for. You can't call yourself a mahatma and have grief. You are a Mahatma and you have no grief. And grief will not be there in you when you know essentially that you are ocean. When you are informed that you are ocean, you are not a Mahatma. When you know that you are ocean, then you are a Mahatma. Remember, there is a difference. You are informed that fire burns you, but yet you want to go and put your finger into the fire. You are informed, huh? So many from childhood days, you are informed. But yet your mind is attracted to fire, it wants to go and play. This is different from the other person who knows that fire burns. He doesn't put his finger into fire. He knows. So therefore, when I am saying here Mahatma, one who knows, not one who is informed. Remember. So why such a person, if at all, would come into the body and act consciously, hypnotize himself as it were and act to protect sadhus, to destroy unrighteous wicked, and to establish dharma, he says. In other words, all Mahatmas, whosoever manifested at different times, in different place, they were all doing only this. Remember this. Good, evil, dark, light, tall and short, these kind of pairs of opposites all belong to the surface only. When you go to the depth, there are no pairs of opposites. By just moving towards good, you don't go to the consciousness. But when you go to the consciousness, you will be manifesting, protecting good. To understand this, I am giving this example. Any person who, for example, you are born in a family who don't eat meat, who don't kill anything, you don't eat meat. So from childhood days, you don't eat meat. You are born in a family who don't smoke. You are born in a family who don't drink. And you also have all those habits. You are born in a family which does a lot of charity. So you also do a lot of charity. All these good activities you do, merely by doing this good activity, you can still continue to remain ignorant of the fact that you are the ocean and not the wave. Number one. Are you with me? What I am saying now, number two, is if you go deep inside you and realize the self to be the infinite and not the finite anymore. Right? Having realized the self, having got the consciousness, now whenever that person, till he is living in the body, all his actions that manifest through the body will be on the side of good, not on the side of bad. Do you understand this? Number one, I am saying, merely going towards good, you are not going towards consciousness. But whenever you go towards consciousness, you will manifest only goodness. Consciously, you cannot be angry. Consciously, you cannot be greedy. Consciously, you will not be killing. Right? This is a different person compared to somebody who is conditionally good. So when you have gone to the state of unconditioned consciousness state, pure consciousness state, thereafter whenever you are manifesting through the body as it were, all your actions will be towards goodness. Is that clear? This is all I said. Is that okay, woman? This is all I said when I said the person who consciously manifests through the body, he always manifests for giving, not
taking.
Taking.
So even if he finds it's for the better.
Yes.
Yeah. So nothing meaning.
So therefore what Vedanta is saying is, Vedanta is not asking you to merely move towards goodness. In other words, simply because you do your duty, you don't necessarily move towards spirituality. But when you move towards spirituality, you will be only doing your duty. Remember this. There's a difference. A lot of people think, I'm doing my prayers every day. I'm taking care of the parents. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Then what is the need for me to become spiritual? Is this itself spiritual? No. So at the surface, there is good and bad. Read me. There is good and bad at the surface. Merely you go towards goodness, you don't become spiritual. But if you move towards spirituality, when having moved towards spirituality, having become spiritual, whenever actions manifest through you, it will always be on the dharmic side, it can never be on the adharmic side. That is why we say, don't do duty and get bound by it. Somebody is bound by iron chain. When they are bound by negativity, other person is bound by gold chain. Then he is bound by goodness, duty, responsibility, and all that. But bondage is bondage. This doesn't mean we are saying don't do your duty. It is moving towards consciousness that matters. That is what makes you spiritual.
When bondage was goodness, you mean that you were attached.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
In fact,
or you doing something and you're not happy, but you're telling yourself, okay, this is good for me, that's why I should do it.
See, these are very important things, so please listen. Then we will discuss. I will give you time to discuss. Please listen. Because then otherwise this not flow will be interrupted. Many stories you heard, many examples are there for us. Those who were negative turned spiritual and realized the self. For example, Valmiki. Valmiki was a bandit. But he moved to the consciousness and became spiritual. There are so many people who are living as good, but they have no idea as to what spirituality is all about. So in other words, what we need to understand is, goodness in itself is not spirituality. When you go to spirituality, all your actions will be
good.
That is why in Vedanta it is always emphasized, go beyond good and evil. In fact, there is no such thing as good and bad. There is no such thing as evil and good. And when we say this, you have to be careful. If you misunderstand, then there is a problem. If you are unconsciously going through good, but consciously going through the so-called evil, the person who is consciously going through the so-called evil, the possibility is there that he will become spiritual. These are all very important things that you need to understand, but there's a possibility of misunderstanding. So careful. So what I'm saying is, unconsciously somebody is moving into duties, responsibilities, charity, etc., etc. Is bound in it as an end itself. Whereas the other fellow is not into the sexual living as an end in itself. He is consciously engaging himself in the sensual living. When he is consciously engaging in the sensual living, he is questioning, he is thinking, he is aware of what is happening. And that person, the fact that he is conscious and aware, he says, there is nothing in this. And he is able to move beyond it. Whereas these fellows who are unconsciously moving into it, they are trapped by that. Similarly, those who are moving in evil also unconscious, they also get trapped. So therefore Vedanta says, there is no such thing as evil or good. You please go through everything, but go through them consciously. Somebody told me, somewhere they heard the lecture, that Vishaya is Visham. Vishaya means sense object, sense world. His Visham means poison. So what they have done? They have completely shut themselves from contacting the world. Those we call as denial. World is bad. Because Bhagavad Gita also says, Dukkha Yo Nayaha, the wounds of sorrow. So everything is sorrow here. There is no true joy. Bhagavad Gita is saying, your grandfather has said, so what has happened is, you have been informed, you do not know. You have been informed, you do not know. So now what has happened is, somebody has told you, fire will burn you. But the mind is not knowing it. Mind wants to go and play. So the people who have denied themselves from contacting the world, what has happened is, their mind requires some entertainment. So they go to puja, they go to this, they go to that. But deep inside, what is happening? They do not know that the happiness is not there in sense world. They do not know. They are only being informed. So deep inside, the thought current is building. They are getting frustrated through denial. Are you with me? So therefore, Vedanta doesn't say deny the world. Vedanta doesn't say world is good, Vedanta doesn't say world is bad. It says, now you have desires. You are given a stage in life called as Grastha Ashrama stage. In Grastha Ashrama stage, you go through your desires dharmically, but also go through the desires consciously, without being conditioned to believe that they are good or bad. There is no good, bad and ugly here. If in Grihastha Ashrama you mechanically go through your desires, even though it pertains to dharma, you would still not rise above the desires. But you go through the desires dharmically and consciously. In fact, real dharma is consciousness only. We take dharma to be an action. But you do an action without consciousness, it ceases to be dharmic. Okay. So if you do that, then as you are going through the experiences, you are rising above the experience. Remember in one context, in one class I said, if you are in a hurry, H-U-R-R-Y, you will never find a hurry. H-A-R-R-Y. I said this, right? So in a hurry, we are all functioning in goodness. What has been laid down as dharma. I am following the rules. But I am not following the rules consciously. Valmiki consciously remained abandoned. How do you really rise above your vices? The so-called vices. By not telling that fellow, it is a vice, don't do it. In fact, the fellow is addicted to alcohol. You go on telling him, don't drink. He knows that it is not good for him. But he's addicted. He's helpless. And more when people go on telling, don't drink, it's bad, don't drink, it's bad. He's getting more frustrated because he knows it is bad and he's not able to stop it. He gets angry with you, he gets angry with himself, so too. Quieten himself, he has one more bottle. You understand? So by just turning certain things as vice, V-I-C-E, you don't rise above. You understand? But you consciously go through it, it will leave you. So remember this, a lot of people think just merely following what is considered to be dharma and spiritual. No. In fact, those set of people will always be divorced from spirituality and they will take more time to go towards spirituality. In other words, there has been a certain things laid down, believed to be good in this society. And you grow up and follow the good things only. You continue like that, you will die. You got more impressions to be born again. You'll be continuously born and dying. Birth, death happens to you. Whereas the other fellow thinks, he says, in our society, what we call is good. What is acceptable? In some other society,
unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Right? Within Hindu community, in North India, mother, brother's daughter is also like your sister. But in South India, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, and all these places, mother's brother's daughter, you can marry. Agree with me. Society has different set of conditionings which they call as good and bad. So a thinking type fellow is not going to be mechanically adhering to the so-called good things that has been laid down by the society. Agree with me. Valmiki was one such person. So, even when you consciously do something which is considered by the society as negative or dharma, there is a possibility of you releasing from it. Whereas adhering to the norms of the society which is considered as dharma, but unconsciously, you will in fact be trapped more. You will have nothing to do with spirituality. Now, this does not mean I am saying you do all the nonsense. Don't misunderstand me. It's very convenient for me now. You remember the story I told about Sage Nagarjuna. Sage Nagarjuna had a disciple who was the queen of the state. So the queen had invited him for lunch one day and he was living in a small kutir. He was a sannyasi. He was invited by the queen for lunch. He went there, he had lunch. Only possession he had was a baking bowl. Queen said, I want to give you a gift. And she gave a diamond studded bowl, baking bowl. Said, okay, I took it. And she said, I will keep your baking bowl as my inspiration. She gave a diamond studded baking bowl. For him it made no difference. It is a baking bowl, he's not going to eat the diamonds. Right. If it satisfies you, okay, I'll take it. And he took it. And he didn't keep it inside safely, you understand, nothing. He didn't want to flaunt it either, but he was just casually taking it up. And he saw it. Diamond studded. So he was walking behind him, and the sage saw him. Oh, he understood. This guy is walking for the bowl. So slowly he started walking fast. And this guy also started walking fast. He started running and this fellow started running behind him. When he reached the kutir, he quickly went inside the kutir and threw the diamond studded bowl outside. The thief got the diamond studded bowl, but then he became very curious. Because this, he was running after it for the bowl only. If he had taken it from Nagarjuna, he would have ran away. But Nagarjuna sage went inside and threw the begging bowl. So he wanted to meet this sage, who this guy is. He seems to be a little mad. So he went inside. When he went inside, the sage said, "Please come." "What do you mean, please come? While you were chasing me, you didn't want to meet me. You wanted only the bowl. But now you got the bowl. But in spite of it, you've come into the house. Why are you coming? You've come in to meet me. Since you came to meet me, I'm asking you, what can I do for you?" He said, either he's mad or he's some great sage. So he fell at his feet and said, "Please, Mahatma, you know I'm a thief. I also know I'm a thief. And I have tried my best to get rid of this habit. I have failed. I also contacted many sages through emails, online, direct, everything I tried. Right? And nothing worked. Because everybody said, it is bad. The Gallat said, stop." They were telling me what I know. So for a few days I stopped. But I could not. Again I started becoming a thief. I don't know what to do. So you tell me what I should do. He said, "You yourself said I tried my best to stop and all that, nothing happened. So don't stop." He said, "Why are you stopping?" "So what do you mean?" He said, "Continuously. No problem. Jaake out 10 bar steal kar. Go out and steal 10 more times. But now every time you steal, you consciously steal. Together." He didn't tell him to stop stealing. He said, "Now you go and steal consciously." He said, "Okay." And he went. He said, "Okay, you can keep the begging bowl also, no problem." He went. Once he tried, he couldn't steal consciously. The moment consciousness came, he could not steal. Second time, same story. Third time, same story. Now he could not steal. So he came down running up the third time only. He didn't wait for the third time. He said, "Arey Baba, now I can't steal. I don't know what you did. What jadu you did, I don't know. I can't steal now." This is what I'm saying. You understand? So, many people think, "I'm a good person. I follow what is said in Gita. I follow what is said in Bible. I do this only, I respect." But they are far from spirituality. Whether you do what is considered to be good, whether you do what is considered by others as bad, do it
consciously.
Only then you will be free from that. And if you are not free, you are not spiritual. The only definition of a spiritual person is what? He is free from any entanglements. Is that clear now? So the good, bad and spiritual. Three categories I am saying. Merely because you go to good doesn't mean you are spiritual. But when you go spiritual, thereafter your actions will all be only positive. It will never turn towards negative. It is impossible. He doesn't have a motive to be positive. Remember this. If he has a motive to be positive, then he is still not fulfilled. That is what I am trying to say. If I have a motive to give, for example, I start one social social working center. Some trust I start, NGO. For what? To give blankets to all the poor people who are suffering in winter without blankets and all that. Okay. Today I am doing wonderful work. No problem. But there comes a stage where nobody is suffering without any blanket, everything. Now you are suffering. Why? Why you are suffering?
Because nobody to give.
So this fellow who is giving, he is not giving out of fulfillment. For him, giving is how he finds fulfillment. Are you with me? There is a difference between this sort of givers and a true giver. Every morning you go to, you do some puja, and you come out of that mandir and you give, distribute to the beggars, whatever you distribute. One day when you come out, nobody is there. You think, today I am not given, I will gain paap, I will go to hell. So in other words, you want beggars to be there around you, so that you can go to hell. Think about it. When you are a giver, when are you a real giver? There is no motive to even give. This is what I am saying, there is a difference. As long as there is motive, you still not reach the state of Godhead. You remember, karmani eva adhika mahapaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturboho ma te sangostva karmani. Let not your motive be the fruit. So the so-called social workers, I am not saying everybody is like that. Please don't quote me wrongly. Like you see in the news, you know, quote unquote. You know, people can put words in. I am not saying all those things. All I am saying, or Vedanta is saying, is when you have a motive and you give, motive is not necessary, I expect something out of it. That is even lower level. I give something so that tomorrow you give me something else. I am not talking about that. You are not expecting anything. But when there are no takers, you feel a sense of incompleteness. That is what happens to the so-called good people who are driven by punya activities. But a spiritual person doesn't give that way. You understand? He sees as there is a requirement, he gives. That is compassion. It's not pity. He is fulfilled. Therefore, a true social worker is one who is realized the self. You understand? He is not into social work because he doesn't know what to do at home. Because there is so much to do, everybody is doing. I have nothing to do. No. This doesn't mean you don't do social work. I am not going to say it. Don't quote me wrongly. Just saying when you go deeper, you will be doing social work, but that will be work that is expressed through social awareness and social consciousness. So here, I am explaining using that to say that why does a Mahatma act when he has no motive? To establish dharma. It is not that he has motive to establish dharma. That is what I am making it clear by these examples. Is that clear now? It should not be understood. Krishna also comes with a motive, with a purpose. Then what is the difference between you and him? He also has motive. There is no motive in a Mahatma. Whether it is Krishna, Prophet Muhammad, or Jesus, or Buddha, or Mahavir, or Ramana Maharishi, Ramana Kamkirta, Vivekananda, nobody has any motive. But all actions that express through them, they are always towards dharma. Is that clear now? So he says, whenever there is decline in dharma and rise in adharma. Now again, dharma is more powerful or adharma is more powerful? Well, saying it so much suspicion.
Pardon, what did you say? More powerful. I think a dharma would be more powerful because it gives you the value of a dharma.
Hmm?
A dharma.
A dharma is more powerful.
Because it gives you the value of what dharma is all about.
If a dharma is more powerful, it can never establish dharma. Think about it. Dharma is more powerful. Adharma is not powerful. Dharma doesn't require the protection of somebody else to save itself. If dharma requires protection of somebody else, then it is not essentially intrinsically dharmic. What do you mean? You say, I am having the value of speaking the truth. If you have the value of speaking the truth, nobody can make you speak untruth. Vishwamitra couldn't do anything with Harishchandra. We know the story. Harishchandra was put into all sorts of difficulties. Those who have not read the story, please go and read it. I am sure it will be available in the internet. Harishchandra's story says, he was established in dharma. Right? All sorts of difficulties he was put into, adharma could not overpower him. Yes or no? So a truly dharmic person can never be overpowered by adharmic. But somebody who is pretending to be dharmic, that's a different story. Are you with me? So these are verses that you need to think very deeply. Upar dharma, dharma, dharma. This is all, you know, that is not what he is saying here. If you are somebody who is rooted in the truth, you can never be shaken by untruth. If you are shaken, whenever you are shaken, please clearly understand you are not established dharma yet. Either you have been pretending to be dharmic, or you are knowing that you are in this state, you want to go and get established in dharma. While you are putting in your efforts to move towards dharma, the possibility of adharmic people pulling you down is there. Every Tuesday morning you used to go for kitty party, let us say, earlier. I'm saying you did. Just giving as an example. Now you decided I will go to the Gita class. Right? There is a possibility that you can be influenced, or you can be tried to be influenced. Are you with me? But when you are established in this, I'm not saying Gita, any good thing, just an example, that fellow cannot be overpowered. So when he says dharma declines, adharma rises, whenever the awareness declines, adharma rises. In somebody who is rooted in awareness, there is no question of adharma rising at all. Impossible. So people whose awareness has been risen to the height, to the maximum, adharma could do nothing with them. Krishna doesn't require protection. But Arjuna might require protection. If somebody who is dharmic, for him the protection comes from within only. If the protection has to come from outside, then that fellow is not dharmic, because dharma is not dependent, it is independent. So when Lord Krishna says, dharmasya ghrami bhavati, meaning in the society, when the order is not maintained, people who are given into the world attractions, losing their awareness, go towards that, but understand that they are not getting what they want from it, and they do not know where the real happiness is. Such people require help from a dharmic person. Are you with me? Those who are thinking that there is joy, everything that they want is in the sense world and they are indulging in it, they are not receptive. But those who are not getting what they want from the sense world and they do not know where the real joy is, they have only heard from the scriptures it is within and they do not know how to go within, and they are interested in going within. Are you with me? Such people require the help of a Mahatma. Are you with me now? So when he says, I will protect sadhus, he is talking about people who are wanting to move towards dharma, who are trying to escalate awareness in them. But they do not know anything else other than the sense world, the attractions. For such people, the Mahatmas out of compassion help them to move deep within. So when he said, Tarindranaya Sadhunam, this is the meaning. Then second is even very difficult, very interesting. What is that? Vinashaya cha Dushkritam. Vinashaya cha Dushkritam means what? Destroying the negative people. By destruction of the individuals, can negativity be removed? When he says negativity is removed, what he means is, convert the fellow, rehabilitate the fellow, change the hypocrites to make them understand the value of goodness and consciously be good. Are you with me? Not understanding the value of good and pretending to be good. Intrinsically they are not good, but extrinsically they are good. Such people need to be changed to the state of being intrinsically good. That is what he means by destruction of adharma. That is why we say punitive actions will not eliminate negativity. Rehabilitation. Once a person is rehabilitated, you have been speaking broken English. If you are taught and you start speaking good English, thereafter you cannot go into broken English. Are you with me? So therefore, when he says he is not talking about punishing, destroying them literally. One dunyaka you destroy, 1,000 more will come. In fact, when a so-called evil person is destroyed, he becomes a martyr. All those children who are born on that day, they name the child after him or her. You understand? All these things. So are you really destroying negativity? So destroying negativity is not resisting and fighting with it, rather converting it.
So I have a point. I have a question.
Yeah. Let me finish then, you can ask. Is that clear now? Destruction is not physical destruction. Physical destruction is the last resort if there is no possibility of conversion. You always go when you go to a doctor, even to a dentist, first thing you will try to protect your teeth, right? By filling and all that, root canal and all that. You will try to protect the teeth. Last resort is when he will pull it out. Exactly the same thing works in the total also. Straight away if you go as an eliminate, then what you will create is out of fear people will be adhering to the
rules.
But deep inside what will be happening to them?
Agitation.
They will, not just agitation, there will be
negativity
growing. Like cancer grows inside you silently. Somebody told me the other day, because Gujarat is a state which is total prohibition is there, right? There is no alcohol sales there, Gujarat, because Mahatma Gandhi was born there. I believe there is a heavy traffic from Gujarat to Mount Abu because it happens to be the border. For this reason, Mount Abu, so many other things are happening. Brahmakumaris have their head out. All that is there, but I don't know for that. But somebody told me, I didn't know. In fact, they told me only yesterday, last night. That's why it's vivid in my mind. Because in Rajasthan, alcohol is available, and the border you just cross. And you cross the border, and you go. And you cross this side, all done. So in other words, by force, nothing happens. Are you with me? Like Swami Ramananda says, anything forced is never forceful. But when a person is converted, it's a different story. He has now gone deep inside from the surface. Once a person has moved towards the death, thereafter that person cannot get back. So in other words, you can condition yourself into something else and stop smoking. But there is a possibility that you will get back to smoking. But instead of trying to condition yourself into something else, if you really get rehabilitated, thereafter you cannot smoke. Is that clear? Some people are told, you know, instead of smoking, you pick up this chewing gum habit. This habit and that. In other words, moving from bad to good, to good to bad, you will go. From surface, it's a possibility. When you see the pendulum clock, the pendulum clock is moving towards left. As it is moving towards left, it is actually gaining momentum to move towards
right.
As it is moving towards right, it is gaining momentum to move towards
left.
This is what is happening. By conditioning a person and moving him into one other extreme, you have not solved the problem. You actually postponed the problem. Not only you postponed the problem, you are creating a stronger enemy now. By not dealing with it then and there, you leave it, then it will become bigger monster. Are you with me? So yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttana madharmasya tadatmanam sishamyaham paritranaya sadhunam. Sadhu here does not mean people like Krishna. They don't need protection. Mahavir didn't need protection. Buddha doesn't require protection. Jesus Christ didn't need protection. You understand? If he needed protection, then he is not a Mahatma. He is one who gives protection to others. He doesn't require protection. If you are easily possible to be disturbed by the so-called negative person, what kind of a sadhu are you? Like Mahatma Gandhi says, any fool can find shanti in shanti. You need to be a wise person to find shanti in Ashanti. You go to a pyramid where everything is beautifully set. And there, I was absolutely fine. The minute you came from that place to catch a train or a flight, their arguments are. In an ideal condition, understand, what's the big deal? So what he is talking about here is a sage, meaning people who are good and wanting to move towards spirituality, dharma, they require to be protected. And the adharmic people who are caught in the sense world as an individual are people who are pretending to be out of the sense world, but deep inside still continue to value the sense world. These are the adharmic people. In fact, the second category is worse. The pretentious people, hypocrites. You understand? They all need to be eliminated. Eliminated means what? Energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It can only be transformed into something. If you try to destroy, you are only physically eliminated. You have not eliminated that energy. That energy is going to manifest. You are not conquering your anger. Every time you are getting angry, you are drinking a glass of water and taking two three breaths and pushing the anger inside. So what happens? That anger inside is going and gathering momentum, strength. So what happens? You will be so angry when your servant had put one more sugar, spoon of sugar. You almost murdered that servant. Just one more spoon he had. And somebody parked their car in your parking. Something like that. So what will happen? Energy has not been destroyed. It is still there. And it has been gathering
momentum.
And it has manifested even more powerfully. Therefore, when he says destruction of the wicked, he is not talking about physical elimination. He is talking about conversion. Remember this. And how do you convert? Through education on the higher values. How do you communicate the higher values? What is the best way of communicating the higher values?
By introspection.
By example. Okay. So, paritranaya sadhunam and vinashaya chatushkrutam is done by you practicing dharma and becoming an example. Once a sage was approached by some devotees, please tell us how to conquer anger. So he said, okay, come after 10 days. So they said, okay. So they thought he is busy. So they went after 10 days. So then he said, okay, do this. Why didn't you tell us 10 days ago itself? He said, firstly, I wanted to practice the next 10 days before I gave lecture about how to control anger. When I am myself getting angry every now and then, and if I am giving advice to you about conquering anger, it will have no meaning. So the best way of establishing dharma is by living the knowledge and becoming an example, and then educating the people about the values. Once you've got the value of goodness, you are not pretending to be good anymore. Imagine a society which has value, people who have value of goodness, who do not want to be good for the sake of others. They are good because they want to be good, not they have to be good. This have to is a big problem, but want to is what Krishna is saying. Have to means forcefully. As you are nearing the signal, you are watching, is there any Krishna? That means you are, have to follow the rules. If you are wanting to follow the rules, you are not worried whether the policeman is there or not. Red light is there, enough, I'll stop. Unless it is green, I'm not going. So unless you have created an environment where everybody wants to be good, dharma is not established. So the Mahatma, all his activities will be in establishing dharma by protecting the good and by converting the wicked. Thus they establish dharma. This is what he is saying in these two verses. So don't wait for somebody to come from heaven to solve your problems. That is not what he is saying. Right? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.